Pastor Ed Taylor on what to do when you're at odds with someone.
God's people often find themselves at odds with one another. Churches are often a hotbed of conflict and division. It doesn't have to be that way. It can be a lot less than sometimes it really is. But it shouldn't surprise you that you would meet conflict even in this church. Someone will fail you. Someone will not meet your expectations. There might be real arguments and division. You may have different political views, or you see different things in the world differently. But what we need to do is not fight for our opinions, but to yield to the word and follow the pathway of Abram here and learn how to die to ourselves.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Conflict, strife, and division. Very sadly, it's very common in today's world, even in the church. And if that's something you're dealing with right now, keep listening, as I think you'll get a lot out of this study on Abounding Grace. And if you're not, well, you can be sure that you will at some point in the future. Pastor Ed Taylor will offer five things that can serve to help us avoid conflict. As we recall a time when Lot and Abram's servants were arguing, God's blessings had turned to strife. Let's lean in and listen.
What did God say? Go back to chapter 12. Don't forget this. You may even want to memorize the covenant promise. Go back to chapter 12, the promise that God made with the pagan Abram, call him out of his land into a relationship with himself. He said, verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curses you. Now, that is toward Pharaoh. Pharaoh would live that out. And he said in verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So Lot's experiencing the blessing of Abram before it's even fully fulfilled. And at the end of verse 3, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Lot is blessed because of Abram. And I would say even now, there is a benefit to being around those who are blessed by the Lord. There is a benefit of being around those that are experiencing the blessings of God just as much. Now, many times we'll hear that in the negative, and the negative is true as well, but this is the positive. It is a good thing to be around strong, faithful, mature men and women, even young men and women, boys and girls, who have a strong walk with the Lord and they're living out the blessings of God. There is a benefit to being around those who are a blessing, because we usually hear it in the opposite. And Paul would write this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. The company you keep is very important. This is not to isolate yourself as Christians and never interface with unbelievers or those that don't know Christ or family. That is not what he's saying here. He's saying that there is blessings available to you when you hang out with people that are blessed of God, that are following the ways of God, that are good examples. I found it even in the Proverbs as I was looking at this and paused it. Listen to the Proverb chapter 13, verse 20. Listen to what he says. He who walks with wise men will be wise. Isn't that great? But the companion of fools will be destroyed. Isn't that not great? I mean, it's just basic wisdom. You want to hang out with wise people, you're going to pick up on their wisdom. You want to hang out with fools, you're going to be destroyed. So Abram comes back to the land of promise. He sets up an altar. His heart is right before the Lord. He's worshiping. He's seeking. And of course, there would be strife. Because with great progress comes great resistance. Of course, there would be strife. I don't know why we're surprised by it. Of course, there'd be resistance. Abram's finally back in the land, back at the house of the God, back at the place of worship, back to the place, but the blessing turns into strife. Is that possible? Well, we see it here. blessing growing into being so much that the blessing can be a burden, can actually begin to create strife. Conflict arises even in the blessings of God. And it's always a people issue. It's not a possession issue. It's not a stuff issue. The conflict is people. Jealousy, contentions, covetousness, being upset. Yes, it's true that there wasn't enough land to support these growing families. But notice in verse 8, Abram responds. This man of faith is being directed by God, and he responds, "Please let there be no strife between you and me. No strife between our herdsmen and your herdsmen, because we're brethren." Can you just circle verse 8 somewhere in there if there's an opening? Just write, "Relationships are important." Abram made sure, hey, we're brothers. We're family. I know there's conflict. I know there's strife, but I don't want it. And notice what he does. "Isn't the whole land before you?" Verse 9, "Please separate from me. If you take the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." And the solution was to humble himself, to die to himself and say, "Lot, you choose whatever you want. I'll choose the opposite. You get first shot." Which was amazingly humble, because even in culturally, the elder was to be respected above the younger. In a very cultural, pragmatic way, Abram should have been able to choose first, and Lot should have put up some fight, go, no, Abram, your humility, I'll match with humility, and you go first. Lot and Abram, at this point, are in fellowship with one another, and he doesn't want that broken. Now, can I speak to this for a moment in the church of Jesus Christ, that God's people often find themselves at odds with one another? Churches are often a hotbed of conflict and division. It doesn't have to be that way. It can be a lot less than sometimes it really is. But it shouldn't surprise you that you would meet conflict even in this church. Someone will fail you. Someone will not meet your expectations. There might be real arguments and division. You may have different political views or different upbringing, or you might see different categories. You know, you see different things in the world differently, but what we need to do is not fight for our opinions, but to yield to the word and follow the pathway of Abram here and learn how to die to ourselves. I don't want any conflict. I don't need to fight and use the word of God, the sword of the spirit, to cut your head off, but rather to let the word of God bring us to the God of peace, which we learn in the scriptures that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. We learn in the scriptures that if our ways please the Lord, then he can make even our enemies be at peace with us. And so Abram took the pathway of pleasing the Lord. Now, there are a few steps. You can jot them down. I'm not developing any of them, but you can think about them later if you'd like. We can avoid a lot of conflict in the church with five things. Number one, don't be surprised or shocked when conflict comes your way. As a matter of fact, I would even add number one subpoint is, if you're not shocked, if don't be shocked and surprised if you're involved in a conflict. Be shocked and surprised if you're not involved in a conflict. Making progress. Thank you, Lord, for shooting it right back in. Number two, put on the mind of Christ. Put on the mind of Christ. Seek him first. Number three, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Walk in humility. Number four, emphasize the important things, the things that you agree on. And number five, in everything, love, agape love, because love covers a multitude of sins. I mean, we could probably come up a lot of different lists, but just simple things. Don't be surprised. Walk with the mind of Christ. Put on the clothing, the breastplate of righteousness, the robe of righteousness. Well, notice what happens here. It says in verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plains of the Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, that's where he's looking. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. And then notice this. Number one, verse 11, Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And number two, notice they separated from each other. I do know those are practical things and they needed to happen in this situation, but I also believe the emphasis here in the Hebrew is Lot chose for himself. Once again, we see no mention of prayer, no seeking of, no humbling before Abram, no you choose, you're the wise one, I'll follow your wisdom. But he chose for himself. Sodom and Gomorrah, the word Sodom, the city's, Sodom means burning, and Gomorrah means submersion. And these two cities were truly submerged in sin and immorality. And Abram, receiving the grace of God himself, was being gracious here. He was being gracious. He offered the opportunity for Lot to make a decision. You see, Abram was at peace with God, and therefore he wanted there to be peace within his family. And he wanted the strife to end. Lot should have said, Abram, you're the one blessed of God. All I have is because of you. All I have is because you heard God and obeyed him. I'm blessed because you're blessed. You choose, and I'll do. There's none of this. But instead, puffed up with pride, Lot gets greedy. And his greed sends him to a well-watered, beautiful area that was corrupt on the inside. And it trapped him, ruined his family. You know, sin always looks good to the eyes. You know that? There's always some that sin that's temptation to you. Because you could say, well, it's not every sin. I know, because you're not tempted by everything. But the temptations that come to you, they always look good to the eyes. They always look like a well-watered, well-taken care of. That's why when you become a spiritual man or woman, you want the Lord to lead you and speak to you and guide you. Because not everything is as it seems. Not everything is as it looks. And of course, we live in a culture that really emphasizes outward and pays no attention to the inward. And you have to be careful. Lot's mistake is not a good one here. It ultimately leads to the destruction of his family. Verse 12. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. And the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Somehow Lot was attracted to this. I don't think that was a secret. I don't think he was only interested in what was well watered. I do believe he knew about the reputation of the wickedness of these cities, and somehow it appealed to his flesh. And God let him go, gave him up to himself. Notice verse 14, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. And all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, and I give it to you. And Abram moved his tent and went, dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And notice, he built an altar there to the Lord. This is a pattern of worship again in Abram's life. And he looks toward the north, toward Samaria. And he looks toward the south, which is toward Jerusalem. He looks toward the east, which is Moab, and the west to the Mediterranean area, the Mediterranean Sea. And he moves on to Mamre. If you're writing, it means riches. And Hebron speaks of communion, the Hebrew word. And so while Lot is flirting with the wickedness and moral corruption and burning sinful desires, Abram's making spiritual progress in fellowship with the Lord. And as painful as this must have been, it was a good thing for Abram to be separated from Lot. That's a hard thing to say, but it was a good thing that this activity took place. Because what God says after Lot leaves is you're not going to be able to number the blessings you're going to receive. And that's true for you and me too, because we are sons and daughters. Abraham is our father. He's the father of faith. We teach the kids in Sunday school for many years. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. You are one of them. And so am I, or we. I don't even know what it is. I forgot the song. I'm going to have to learn it again. And then let's all praise the Lord, left hand, right hand, left hand. And we're all Father Abraham's kids, fathers of faith, sons and daughters of faith. And church, receive this and pray over it. You ready? This principle here, and this is where we'll close. Maybe even hard to hear. Very difficult to receive, but I ask you to pray over it for those of you that it's hard. Sometimes we have to break loose of relationships before we experience the fullness of the blessings of God. Sometimes we need to break free and break loose of relationships before we experience the blessings of God, as painful as it is. It may not even be our decision. It may be their decision. And they're going to move on, and they're going to move over here, and they're going to do this, and we're brokenhearted, and we're crying, and it hurts, and I can't believe it happened. And then, you know, what did I do if I would have just... And I just want you to step back for a second and consider, sometimes it is God's will for that person to be removed from your life, to break free and loose of these relationships. So much so, again, that's the positive side. So much so, we are familiar with the negative side of that. Here's what the Bible says in a more difficult verse, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? I believe in a very practical way that Abram would have loved to spend the rest of his life with Lot and work out a deal and stay in communication and just work it all out. And let's just work it out. We're brothers. You're my family. But God's will was for this to be unfolded the way it is and for Abram to be separated from Lot. And if you're reading the Bible, these guys don't know what's up ahead. If you read ahead, you know what's up ahead. Lot's going to get in big trouble in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abram's going to be able to rescue him from a position of strength, not compromise weakness. That's for another Bible study altogether. But there might be people in your life tonight who are hurting you and not helping you, taking from you and not giving, draining and not developing, sapping you of your spiritual strength and the effectiveness that God has for your life. You may have people in your life that discourage you instead of encourage you, that tear you down instead of build you up. You need to separate from them as unto the Lord. And if you're yet still unconvinced, then pray. And let the Lord lead you in that matter. Let him reveal to you what even that separation might look like. Maybe a little bit of distance. Maybe a little time of fasting and praying to see how God might put you in a position of strength. I was thinking, this illustration has come up a couple times this week already, but I was thinking, when you get on a plane and they give you the familiar instructions on how to respond in a crisis, something really, really bad happens, the gal or the guy will drop the mask and they will tell you on the recording or however, put yours on first. Not the kid next to you. They're literally telling you, don't think of the kid next to you until you think of yourself. Why? Because you'll be of no help unless you're breathing. Yeah, it's just seconds. But the pragmatic approach is take care of the kid, take care of the kid. Well, you may not even have enough time to take care of the kid and both will be lost. But if you take care of yourself first, both are saved. And that's just the way of the Lord. So often the way of the Lord is not what we would think, not what we would do. You may even have this thought like, no, if I was God, this is what we would do. Thank God, you are not God. We don't want to know your ways. We want to know the Lord's ways. And if you have something to share, share with us the Lord's way. What is the way of the Lord? Which way should I go? What's the counsel of God's word? How should I decide? Which, to the left or to the right? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I saved that verse for last because I know in challenging words like this, there's such a fight. But you hear the word of the Lord, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. for those that the word of the Lord is speaking, we have a special prayer for you just to encourage you and help you, because it's a challenging thing to consider.
Pastor Ed Taylor on Abounding Grace. We've been in Genesis chapter 13 today. This message titled, God's Blessings Turn Into Strife, can be heard again at AboundingGraceRadio.com or at OnePlace.com. Pastor Ed, I think today's lesson hits home for many of us, as it's not uncommon for even the people of God to experience conflict and strife. And we've seen in recent years that has really grown online. So do you have any suggestions when we're upset about something we read on social media about to type out a response and hit send? Is it wise to fight in that setting?
Larry, you hit on a nerve with this question, because this is a mistake that I've made all too many times, just jumping into the mud with other people that have made some muddy comments. And the problem is when you jump into the mud with those who are already in the mud, the only thing that really happens is you get dirty and the other person loves it. There are certainly times where we need to give a strong answer. There are certainly times when we are to give a rebuttal, or I think of the Proverbs, right? There are times when we answer a fool according to their folly. There are other times when we don't answer a fool according to their folly. So what do? Number one, we don't overreact. Don't overreact, especially in that first initial response. I can't believe they said that. I don't agree with them. Don't overreact. Number two, pray. Give it a moment. Is this best to be said privately? Is it somebody that you know, right? Because thirdly, assess the relationship. The closer the relationship, the more close the response should be. And I know that people go, well, they put it in public, should I should answer it public? No, they put it public, and you should walk in the Spirit and use wisdom in how to respond. Just because they put it in the public doesn't mean you should be in the public. And I don't know if it's always wise to verbally spar at all, but to share ideas, to share points of view, to share biblical insights, that's always appropriate. But to argue, I just think of the Bible. I think it was Paul writing to Timothy. I don't have it with me right now, but I think it Paul writing to Timothy that the servant of the Lord must not strive or argue, but be gentle to all. And I think walking in agape, don't overreact, pray, consider the relationship. And then by then, you probably won't be so stirred up by what you read. And you can move on without jumping into the mud. But let me just say this, one last thing. Maybe it's time, if things are stirring you up on social media, maybe it's time to take a break. Fast social media for a day, for a week, for a month. I know that when I go on vacation with Marie, I fast social media. And like this last time, I haven't gone back to Twitter. It was stirring me up so much. And I really like Twitter because it keeps me up to date with some of the news things, but I just have to find it another way. And I haven't gone back. So it's it's well into 2024 now, and I just haven't gone back and I haven't missed it. I haven't been on Facebook for, I don't know, years, and I don't miss it. I still post on these mediums because I know people are on there, but I have other programs that help me post, so I don't have to go there. And those posts are for me or my team here, but I don't have to go there. So the Lord leads you and guides you, but it's rarely beneficial to publicly spar, especially if you don't have a relationship with them. If you do have a relationship with them, Matthew 18 says, go to them, you and them alone. So follow Matthew 18, let the Holy Spirit help you.
That is very helpful. Thanks for that. Thank you for remembering Abounding Grace in your giving to the Lord. Every gift that comes in goes right to ministry. It plays an important role in helping us bring the truths of God's Word to the radio and the internet every day. And when you support the ministry today with a gift of $25 or more, we'll say thanks by sending you Humility by Andrew Murray. Request it today when you call 877-30-GRACE. That's 877-30-GRACE. Ordering is super easy through our online store as well at calvaryco.store. And if you'd just like to make a donation to the ministry and you're not interested in the book, you can donate safely and securely at aboundinggraceradio.com. Glad to have you with us for today's broadcast. We look forward to continuing the journey through Genesis next time on Abounding Grace with Pastor Ed Taylor. In the meantime, let's be drawing on God's abounding grace for daily living.
This is amazing grace.
Abounding Grace is brought to you by Calvary Church, Colorado, here in Aurora.